Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, September 26th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 30, the third paragraph. We alcoholics are men who have lost their legs, and ending with over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. Today's readers are Debbie P. for the 12 Steps, Juanice N. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Lois P. and Mary B. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday, September 25th, is 19,447. That's 19447. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, September 26th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,449. 19449. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. and announcements person is Eileen M. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service today, and good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Debbie P. I am from Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Debbie P., for your service this month. Juanice M. N., I will ask you now to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Now, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
And thank you, Juanice, for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1. To unmute your phone, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again after you finish sharing. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 30. The third paragraph down at the bottom of the page, we alcoholics are men who have lost their legs, and it ends with over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And I will now ask Lois P. to get us started. Good morning, Lois.
Hi, Mo. I hope I'm reading the correct paragraph. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York.
Wait a minute, Lois. I'm giving you the wrong. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. It's we alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability. I apologize.
No, that's okay, Mo. That's what I thought, but I just wanted
to... Yeah, I got myself mixed up with the next paragraph starts with, we are like men. So, okay,
thank you. You bet. Thanks, Mo. Thanks a lot. So we alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. I'm sure every person on the line, even if you're just a newcomer, can relate to this. How many times have we all spoken about this in live meetings and on this call about so many years of trying to regain control over something that just took us to the mat every single time? How many times did I believe I could be normal? How many people have said this on the line? We all understand the pain and the agony of trying to grapple with something that is impossible for us to manage. Two reasons. Number one, as Dr. Silkworth so beautifully and thankfully discovered, and that is that there is a physical or physiological, biological issue going on here in my body and in probably most people on the line's bodies with substances that once we put in our bodies, it renders us literally powerless. we then have to have more and more and more of it. So that's number one. It's a physical disability. I started to look at it as that, thanks to Dr. Silkworth. And the second part of this is that we kept struggling with it on our own, and there's no way, as I have proven in all the years I've been in program, there's no way I can do this by myself. And only something greater, God help me, only something greater could really, truly help me take this disease, take this issue to the mat. So the idea of keeping trying, you know, the idea that one day I'm going to be normal, one day I can do this, that's just going to keep eating away at my self-respect, at my belief in life, at my trust in God. It's just going to keep decaying. Any sense of morality I have about myself, about life, it's just going to bring me down again and again. The more that I try to believe that I can do this, and only in turning to some greater, more loving, incomprehensible, but ever-present power, can I really survive this? And I am. And I know that everyone on this line who's experienced turning their life over and turning the food over to God has experienced a miracle in their lives. So I just encourage everyone to give up, just totally give up and realize this is beyond your human power. And just join the group. This is a loving family. We are here to protect and love and guide. And this way, over a considerable period of time, we will get better, not worse. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lois, for helping me out with the paragraphs. They both start with we. Anyway, I'm a human being. All right. So let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on the third paragraph down. We alcoholics are men and women. I've lost the ability, and it ends with over any considerable period. We get worse, never better. Just reminding you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared Thursday or Friday, we ask that you, on any meeting, we ask that you skip today and let others share. All right, who would like to share?
Larry G. from California.
I got Larry and Bruce. Is that a Nancy?
Dina B.
Oh, Dina. Dina B. G. Bruce E. So I have Larry G. Bruce E. Dina B.
Rita Q.
Rita. Was that a Q?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. If you don't have anybody else, I have Larry G, Bruce E, Dina B, and Rita Q. Everybody else, please mute your phone, except Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. It's so good to hear you on this call. My name is Larry, and I am a recovered compulsive eater, food drunk here in Northern California. Being on this call since May, it's been May 18th now, 2020. This has been a game changer for me. I've been in OA a long time. And maybe I was just ready this time. Maybe I did a complete... Bye, sweetheart. I'll see you. Maybe this time I did a complete surrender. I believe I did. But I think the game changer for me has been reading each day, Monday through Friday, taking sponsees. I'm a sponsee as well, through the big book, studying this each day, because there's no shades of gray here. As Lois so eloquently and humbly talked about this opening as a reader today, well done. Well, I accepted this, finally, after 20 years and over years anonymous, I accepted this in May 18, 2020. But what about today? What about since then? Well, let me tell you, I'm recovered as it's defined in the doctor's opinion. But last week, it was a tough week. I went through the ringer. And I have now learned that it's not my feelings that get me drunk, it's my thinking. And on Friday or Saturday, this week, and I called my sponsor about this just a couple days ago. The thought came up, said, Larry, F it, man. This is not worth the amount of time you're putting into this. Just eat. Just, you know, stop going to Overeaters Anonymous and just eat. Stop working out. You know, get out the fat clothes again. You know you want to do this. You know that this is really what you want to do. And just eat, because you're miserable. And no amount of absinthe is going to is going to help you to get this right this time. You know, I didn't recognize that. I would have obeyed that 2.5 years ago, but I recognize that because I have a lot of recovery deposits in my recovery bank account. Meetings, 5 days a week. Like I said, I've been sponsored. I've gone through steps, continue to go through the steps, working with sponsees. And I recognized it for what it was immediately and got on the phone and called. I called a member here in California that I know real well, and just leaving a message for her and then talking to my sponsor about it and walking through it. I have a choice. I will lose choice if I give that thought more and more energy. But I had a choice on Saturday to choose recovery or to choose to die, and I choose recovery. But this is what it was like for me, 24/7, prior to visions. But today, pretty good. Today I'm waking up abstinent and sober. And I thank you once again, Mo, and I wish everybody on this call a good day.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry G. And now Bruce E., followed by Dina B. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Yeah, I think here it looks like the previous paragraph, I had to concede to my innermost self that I'm a food addict, and then the next one after this one is I lose my legs. Or no, I've already lost my legs. So this one is, we alcoholics are men and women who lost the ability. So now I lost the ability to control this eating thing. I worked for 25 years thinking that I really didn't lose the ability, that I really couldn't control eating anything. I wanted to eat as much as I wanted to eat. And that did lead to that demoralization. But it took me a long time to figure that out, that I'd lost control. And I have. I really don't have any control over those alcoholic foods and overeating. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. So I guess that means that if I go in a nursing home or I turn 95 or I win the lottery, I still don't recover control. So control must be up to a higher power. I guess that what I need to do is turn over the control to a power greater than myself. So many times it goes on to here, many times I thought I was regaining control. So I again, you know, for 25 years, you know, every now and then I would feel like I had regained control, you know, that I got it back. And I think Bill tells us in Bill's story that that happened to him a number of times, you know, the goose hung high and all that. So it felt like I was getting the control back. But then I would end up worse off than I was before. And totally frustrating situation with being a food untreated food addict. But these intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control. So I always had less control. When I tried to have control over this thing, I just fell out every time. And that leads to this incomprehensible demoralization. Yeah, I didn't look that up yet, but that's got to be pretty bad, right? It's got to be pretty low bottom. A man convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type, which I am, are in the grips of progressive illness. So, yeah, it always got worse and never got better, you know, when I was in the food. Always got worse. I was in the grips of progressive illness. It is a progressive illness. over any considerable time. He gets worse, never better. Always got worse over that 25 years, really, pretty much. I had a binge at the end of 25 years that was worse than anything I had before the 25 years, you know.
All right.
And there's thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Bruce. Dina B, followed by Rita Q. Good morning, Dina.
Hi, this is Dina B from New Hampshire. I wanted to thank Team Monday for their service. The sentence I wanted to share on was, you lost the ability to control our drinking or eating. I could no longer control my eating. I was powerless. I wanted to stop. I had many reasons for stopping. Food wasn't even giving me pleasure anymore, but still I overate. I was almost 400 pounds, uncomfortable and ashamed at my appearance. Being between a rock and a hard place, I had no hope. I couldn't go on in that body, and I couldn't stop eating. I withdrew and was numb. God in OA gave me the faintest glimmer of hope. This glimmer became a flashlight, then a brilliant light. I finally found the answer. God had helped me do what I could not do for myself for almost 10 years now. I submit my food and eating. He gives me grace. I work on submitting my life. He gives me peace. I thank him almost daily for my abstinence and for my life. I am doing things now that I never imagined. This body I have can hike and bike. I love and cherish being part of this fellowship, and I'm grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Dina B. And before I take Rita Q, let me remind everybody, or those that are just getting on the line, we're on page 30 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the third paragraph down. We alcoholics are men and women, and it ends with, over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And after Rita, I will take more names. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me okay?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Team Monday. Hello, Vision family. It's great to be here. My name's Rita Q, recovered, not cured, compulsive over here. Yeah, I really love this paragraph. And I really love, I've highlighted in my book here, we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. My God, how many times did I try and recover control? And, you know, my eating got me up to 380 pounds eventually. And, you know, as I always joke, I always say, like, that wasn't an accident. That didn't happen because somebody like knocked me out and fed me in the night. That happened because I had an allergy of the body and the disease of the mind. That was I ate like Bill drank, and I know were I ever to go back in the food again, that's exactly what would happen to me, because it was insatiable. Particularly after I had a very bad relapse after a good few years in recovery, I think 5 or 6 years. Can't quite remember the exact amount of years, but the relapse was so bad. It was like I could almost physically feel the disease taking over. So, it took over completely. And that's why it says over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. You know, I am never going to be cured. That's why I always say a joke, I'm not cured, because I will always be a compulsive overeater. But I know now that there is a solution, thank God, that has worked for me for the last 3.5 years, that has kept me clean, that has kept me remotely sane. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have days where, you know, I remember recently, my husband really annoyed me, and I remember thinking, why can't I shout at him? Because I know that's not right. That's not good behavior, because that behavior is what leads me to the food. So I have to own my resentments. I have to own my fears. You know, I have to have a clear plan of what I need to do, like almost like a rescue pack if I get into bother, because it's the small things. It's the really small things, the little daggers. That's what will put me back in the food. That's what will put me near the disease. And that's what will start, you know, get me thinking, oh, yeah, I've got this, you know. And it's definitely progressive. It says we are convinced a man that alcoholics or a type are in the grip of a progressive illness. It was, my relapse was horrendous. And I just couldn't stop eating. I could not stop eating. And I remember an old sponsor says, why can't you stop eating? And why won't you come back? And I just said, because I couldn't give two F's. I wanted the food more than I wanted the recovery. Now, the thought of that horrifies me, and I just want the recovery more and more than I've ever wanted the food, you know, for today. and thank God, and that's all done by God. And I went out walking this morning, I was praying, I was just saying, you know, thank you for this. Thank you for all of it, because I can't do this. And I've proved time and time again, and I love the paragraph before that about the delusion and the illusion, which is the false belief for me and the misinterpreted perception, because that's the disease for me. The false belief I could eat like normal people and misinterpreting perception, you know, this time it will be okay. This time it will be okay. You know, and all of a sudden everything's gone. So I'm just really delighted to be here. The sun's shining through my window. It's the afternoon here, and I'm just so glad to be alive. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for doing service.
Thank you, Rita. That was perfect timing. And so I'm going to remind everybody that although you value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday, or Thursday, Friday, please skip today. Thank you. And I will take names of people who'd like to share on this paragraph.
Reggie.
Christy M.
I got you, Reggie. Who was that after Reggie?
Christy M.
Loretta H.
Deborah G. Jordan L.
I have Christy. Didn't get your last initial. Loretta H. Let me see. No. Reggie O, Christy, Loretta H, Deborah G, and Jordan L.
Ann S.
Okay, let's go. Who was that? Ann S. S. Gotcha, Ann. All right, let's go with that group. I have Reggie O, Christy, Loretta H, Deborah G, Jordan L, and Ann S. All right, Reggie O. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks so much for your service this morning. And Lois, for that beautiful, just that beautiful taking us through that this paragraph. And those, let's see, what was it you said at the vent? You said at the end, just give up. And when you said, just give up, I felt this like, you know, because that has been the hardest thing for me to do in this program I've been in OA for. Oh gosh, 37 years. I have had extended periods of abstinence and not long, and extended periods of being out there, you know, binging. And I had a couple of memories as you were talking, and one of them was I was in a five day intensive for compulsive overeaters at one point in Pennsylvania. I thought that would do it, and I remember one of the leaders. At some point during those 5 days, she said, you know, I'm not so sure you're a real compulsive overeater. And I thought to myself, you know, in one respect, I thought, oh, yeah, that's good. I thought that's just what I want you to think. And the other part was, I can't believe you don't get this. And I was with a therapist once, and she just didn't get me. And I left feeling very arrogant and like also at the same time, why didn't she get me? And I have binged my brains out the night before and awakened mornings after thinking that this was going to be the day that it would be lifted, that my compulsive eating would be lifted. And I've done that for so many days, and I've had wonderful recovery. I'm tall, and I've been an athlete for most of my life. So since I've been in program at lost some weight. I didn't have a great deal to lose at the time, but I've never been overweight. And that is kind of, you know, I think that's kind of gotten to me too. But the idea of giving up, you know, the idea of giving up that I can't do this, I have, as I said, you know, more than all the years I've been in program, I have years of experience that I can't do this for any, you know, for any period of time. And the fantasy that thinking that has told me time and time again, you know, that this time it will be different, or this time it will be lifted, or this time you can. It's really amazing to me to look back over these years. And I could go there again if I didn't remain in the rooms with you all and hear this message every day, because I seem to be wired in a very strange way when it comes to food and compulsive overeating. And I'm just so grateful, you know, that there is a place where I can hear this message every day, and there is a place where I have all of you, thousands, you know, here and around the world who are doing the same thing, and that makes a difference. And I am just ever so grateful to think that I'm not going to try to fool anybody today and just do the work. So I'll pass.
And thank you, Reggio. And Christy, followed by Loretta. Christy, what's your last initial?
It's M.
Thank you.
Yeah, good morning.
You're
this
on,
is Christy.
Christy.
All right. I'm a grateful recovering anorexic, bulimic, and overeater from Portland, Oregon. And I really appreciated this reading this morning. I am coming up on, well, I'm 2.5 years of abstinence from bulimia, which is just one of the greatest gifts and blessings. But I've been in OA for almost 5 years. So it took me almost 2.5 years of being in OA to get abstinent. And part of that was what this talks about is I would come, I would go to meetings, I would work the steps, I would do the food plan, and things would get better. I would start getting abstinence, I would start getting serenity, and then I would stop because I thought, well, you know, I don't need 4 meetings this week or 3 meetings this week because, you know, because I've been abstinent. And then I would lose it. So I would do this dance of like 2 weeks of abstinence, and then I would have a relapse. I would have a slip. And then I would have another 2 or 3 weeks, or then I might have four weeks. And I would just keep backing off on the things that made me healthy. And I think it's that diet mentality from the culture that we live in of like, I'm going to do this for a limited amount of time, and then I'm going to get this, you know, pant size, I'm going to get this weight, and then when I hit this weight, then I'm going to go back to the way it was. And, you know, from doing that for a long time, you know, it's really insidious how that starts to slip back. And I find myself this time of year that even 2.5 years in, like that thinking can really start to slip in, that, you know, oh, well, you're at a healthy body weight, you can afford to have, you know, you can afford to eat this. And that voice, which I know now to be, you know, my eating disorder voice, starts to like, oh yeah, you can do that this one time because you've been healthy for so long, or you're at this body weight. And that is totally the voice of my disease, which I recognize now. And it's like a good sign that I need to get to a meeting and that I need to do some step work and need to do some outreach. But I find this time of year, that voice gets a little louder and stronger because we're going into the holiday season. And, you know, this month we have Halloween and it happens to be my birthday. And then next month is Thanksgiving. And then we're into the Christmas holidays. And all of those are so centered, at least culturally, around food and a lot of foods that are a struggle for me. And so this is just a reminder to me, you know, they say that while you're, you know, in here in the meeting, your disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups, you know, it's not getting better. And that, you know, as soon as you pick up that first bite, it's not like you start the progression over. It's like you go right back into the bottom of that pit that you were in.
Thanks,
I'll start to wrap up. And so this is just a reminder to me of, you know, this is time to be vigilant, time to be working my program and doing what I know keeps me healthy. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. Loretta H., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Mo, and everybody along with my precious God who saves my life. I love to share. I'm recovered today, just for today. And right now, I'm in the most beautiful, magical place, Biltmore State. And I've been listening to all the shares. I'm on vacation. And I just came back from an OA retreat where the we was so predominant and the me was almost negligible. And that's my story. Control is my middle name. Loretta, and it doesn't even have the H before it comes to control. And that is my perpetual delusion that I have any power. And I still, with God's grace and mercy, I have many 24 hours in my heart. And I also did not, I never appeared to have the problem. So that was the fraud, all the darkness that people didn't see, but I had it. You know, our darkest past is our greatest asset. And with that, I can avert misery for death and others. I'm 124, I think it is. Anyway, long story short, this morning I'm out with walking and I'm working up. See, this is why this works. I'm working on a 10th step of the process. We're studying 8, 9, 10, and 11 right now. And she's going to be doing 12. And I realized that I'm never cured. I actually, teaching her about the 10th step, I gave her a 10th step. That's why this works. It's priceless. It's a gift that keeps on giving. And because today I've worked these steps, I found myself because I found God. Because it is all about this. And I call my abstinence spiritual and my food plan is a tool. That's just for me. Because without the two of them, I'm never nurtured. Never. And today I'm nurtured with my food plan, with God, and with all of you. And I am right now in heaven as close as I could get because I've got God. So with that, I am going to pass. Happy day, happy destiny. Bless you.
And thank you, Loretta H. Next up is Deborah G., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Mo, so much for leading the meeting this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you for 12-stepping me this morning. It feels so good to get straight with my thinking. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. You don't ever have to live like you're living right now. I know that experience of putting that alcoholic food in my body and that phenomenon of craving would start and I would be like driven to get more, drive more, whatever it took to get more, to get more. And all I thought about was the taste and the feeling that I got from it. I wasn't thinking about anything else, maybe a glimpse of, oh my God, I'm going to all these places or I'm doing maybe a fleeting moment and then feeling bad about after, feeling awful inside my body and feeling awful inside my head because of what I was doing. And I was saying the dishonesty I was telling myself all the time where I'm going to stop or I'm going to do this or it's not going to happen. You know, all that dishonesty doesn't feel good. That's what I learned. It doesn't feel good to be dishonest. It feels good to be honest. And I didn't realize that until I was taken through the steps and learned that first step principle of honesty. And I'm just so grateful that I still remember, you know, where I was and where I can go if I don't continue to do what I'm doing now and realize that I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm going to, you know, see a commercial on TV and think about that food and everything. But it's the actions that I take with that, you know. And I'm so grateful. Thank you all. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
And thank you, Deborah G. Jordan L. up next, followed by Ann S. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I am very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So the first thing that strikes me about this here paragraph of ours is all the we's. There's a lot of we's, huh?
And the other thing that strikes me is that they are speaking in present terms. Like the last paragraph, they said we were alcoholics. This paragraph, they're saying we are alcoholics. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. We are convinced currently in the present state. Even after some time abstinent, like I am currently still alcoholic and still a compulsive overeater, and I'm still very much convinced of the progressiveness of this illness. that conviction is something that no one else could have convinced me of. I really had to come to that conclusion or that conviction on my own. that wasn't like something that someone could give to me. I had to kind of arrive there. But once I did finally arrive there, because it took me a long time, it took me over 5 years to actually get abstinent. but once I arrived there, it was really important that I had the we. that was when the we coming into play was like vitally, vitally important, to have the people here that had done this before me and were going to show me the way. And we're going to say, like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, the relief that I experienced as a result of abstinence, it only came from the allergy, the physical allergy, or that relief, the relief was only for the physical allergy. There were like major problems that came to light after I got abstinent that I was going to have to deal with in order to stay abstinent. And so it's so vitally important that we are alcoholics, and that there's someone here who's like knows what I'm talking about as far as like that dark place, and is going to help me out of it, you know? So I am very grateful to be a part of that we still today. Thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. And next up, we have Ann S., and after Ann, we may have time for one more share. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. I'm Ann S., and I live in Maine. And I am I'm very grateful for all of you being here with us all together this morning and the people who do service for this group. What I was sort of homing in on is the line which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Oh my goodness, that was me. I just found it just started to feel hopeless. And I had grown up with the idea that you weren't okay unless you were thin. And if you were thin, then you would have boyfriends, then you would have a great marriage, then you would have a great job. But if you weren't thin, none of that stuff was going to happen. You were always going to struggle. And so I kind of believed that. And I, you know, my weight would go up and down. And what I found, but what I did find is that sometimes when I got thin, things would start to get better. I'd get a boyfriend, and I'd feel better in my job. But sometimes that didn't happen. And that's when the real demoralization would set in. And that would usually start me back in the cycle of eating again, because it just seemed like it didn't matter what I did, I was never going to be happy. And I didn't have a God in my life. And that has been the biggest difference. That's what's keeping me abstinent this time around in OA, is that total belief in a higher power, that total acceptance in a higher power. And I tried OA a few years ago, and just the group I happened to start with, didn't really focus on that part, the spiritual aspect. And I ended up sort of giving up because it just seemed like all we talked about was food all the time. And I don't think I was ready. I definitely wasn't ready. And now I'm very ready and I feel very committed. And I've been abstinent for about a month and a half now. And that is just a miracle, just an absolute miracle. So I am so grateful to all of you. I've chatted with a bunch of people from this group and I'm just so grateful for that. And I will pass.
Thank you, Ann S. And we do have time for one more person who would like to share, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. Thank you. Who would it be?
Lisa M.
Okay, Lisa, you're it.
Okay, thanks so much. Lisa, recover compulsive overeater in Georgia. Oh, very grateful to be here today. I'm going to touch on that line as well, the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. You know, when I'm in the disease, and I have a lot of experience being in relapse and seeing the progression of the disease, but when I am in the disease, talk about demoralization. I am not me. I am not who God intended me to be. I do not live by esteemable acts. You know, I think of a lot about how esteemable acts lead to self-esteem. And when I am in that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, I'm just the disease's puppet. You know, just sling me around where you want me, you know, in and out of abstinence, up, down. And so gratefully today, I don't have to live that way. And like so many others have said, you know, it's a day to day staying spiritually fit. I'm so grateful for that, that opportunity today. To be living in the solution. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much. Perfect timing. Okay, thank you all for your shares. And thank you, Team Monday, for the month of September. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Melanie C. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and I live in Canby, Oregon. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.